All right, so we are here in the car of Giuseppe Giovanni. This is going to probably be the first episode we post of the Road Comics Guide. How you doing today, sir?
Doing pretty good.
So, it's quite a name there.
Yep, very Italian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't look Italian.
No, not at all. I look Polish, and it fucks with everyone. It fucks with absolutely everyone. Especially because they're like, that's your name? It's like, yes, that's my name. Can we move past this now? not right now, but like anytime like a random person just says that. It's like, I'm at the grocery store. I don't know why we're having this conversation.
Fair enough. So how long have you been doing comedy?
It'll be about 4.5 years. I started October 2013.
Nice. What made you want to get into it?
I mean, I always loved comedy, like, growing up. When I was, one of my favorite things to do as a kid on Friday nights was watch, like, Comedy Central Presents and, like, different stand-up things. And then when, one night I had watched one of Kevin Hart's new specials with a roommate of mine, and he was trying to be a rapper at the time. And so he posted on Facebook, like, after I went to bed and he went to bed and I was sitting on my phone, he posted on Facebook being like, oh, I really want to be a comedian, but it's hard to remember rap lyrics. And I was like, oh, yeah, I want to be a comedian, but I'm not going to just wake up and be a comedian one day. I got to, like, actually put work into it. And so I just started going to mics.
Yeah, that does bother me, like, a lot of people would be like, oh, I'm funnier than this guy. I'm going to go up there with no material whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And that's when you sit back and watch the nightmare unfold.
Yeah, there was, recently I was at the Quail, and this one guy had been sitting there all night, and, like, he was kind of heckling people, and he went up there and told, like, a hack joke right off the bat. He started his set off with, you can call me whatever you want, but don't call me late for dinner. And that's how he started his set, and then just kind of mumbled into the mic and then got off. It was terrible.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, so, do you remember your first open mic?
Yes.
How'd it go?
It was a mixed mic, and it went alright, I have to say. Like, it was a mixed mic in Sedona at a bar that's no longer there. And I'd say it went pretty well, because I was the only comedian there.
Okay, but people laughed, right?
Yeah.
Responded? That's good.
Yeah, like, I would say I didn't bomb until maybe my fourth or fifth time trying.
Fair enough. While we're on that subject, what was your worst bomb ever?
Ooh, worst bomb ever.
Or, like, your least proud moment in comedy?
That would have to be the one time I did snap battles. I had written a bunch of jokes for everyone, and my car, the starter, went bad, and so I had to catch a ride to Phoenix, and I left all my jokes up here. So I was, like, struggling to, like, write stuff down on the way down, and then I got up there, and I think, I was the very first person. I'd never seen snap battles, I hadn't been in the audience, I just knew, like, a general idea of what it was, and I was the first person in the bracket, lost the coin flip to Mason Pipes, and then, so I had to go absolutely first, and had, like, maybe 30 seconds worth of jokes, started, like, getting really nervous. This is at the Tempe Improv, and when I got really nervous, I said something that was, like, borderline racist, and it was, but, like, because I didn't say it with any confidence.
Okay.
I didn't, like, call him, like, a racial slur or anything like that, but I was like, oh, you look like you're half white or Mexican, like, which one is it? And it was just, my whole set bombed. I was, they didn't even let the crowd cheer, they just gave it to Mason. It was that bad.
Nice.
Thankfully, Brian Kearley, like, I talked to him months later, and I was like, I'm so sorry about that. That was absolutely terrible. He's like, actually, you weren't the worst one that night, but it was still, like, terribly embarrassing.
I remember that. It was a Facebook conversation. Mm-hmm. You were trying to nominate yourself for worst snap battle, so it's like you weren't even the worst one that night.
Yeah.
It's always nice when a moment like that happens, when another comedian that's all like, that wasn't that bad.
Yeah. No, it was definitely a little reassuring, but it's so hard to look back at the moment. I haven't had a conversation with Mason ever since then.
Nice.
I feel so bad, because it was just so dumb, and, like, I just panicked. Mm-hmm.
It happens.
Yep.
All right. Your proudest moment in comedy thus far?
That would be Phoenix Comic Con last year, because I was it was me, Roman Grisby, Ben Lewis, Alex Harris, Darrell Johnson, I think Chad was there too. I can never remember his last name. Chad Patterson.
He was at Comic Con?
Yeah, it was the last year. I'm pretty sure he was on the lineup. And then Steve Merrick. And I went up there and I was doing a 15-minute set, like the first time I'd ever done 15 minutes. And I kill really, like, really well, but all the comics were sitting on the stage next to me, like, the way that they had set it up was like a panel. And I had all the comics laughing along with the crowd, and, like, just seeing, like, Roman and Darrell and all them laugh their asses off on top of all the crowd, like, it was, like, a plus. It was great that the crowd was laughing, but, like, super bonus when you get the comedians to laugh, too.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
What was I going to ask you next, sir? Oh, so you're not from here. You're from Cornville, Arizona.
Yep. Well, technically, I'm actually from Detroit, but I moved here when I was 9. I barely remember it. So, I'd say I'm from Cornville.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Did you drink the water?
Where?
In Detroit?
Oh, probably.
Okay.
It's probably not very good, and I'm probably going to die by the time I'm, like, 30.
Probably. Mm-hmm. I drink the water down here, so.
Yeah, this water is the worst. It's like bleach water.
No, bleach water would be better. I would rather drink pool water than that fucking sewer water.
Yeah,
that comes enough out of the tap.
Yeah.
One thing I'm spoiled about.
I think there's just a bunch of dead bodies in the pipes.
I'd believe that.
Right? Maybe it makes sense for the how bad it tastes.
Yeah. Just a lot of decomposing dead homeless people who fell into the canal.
The one place that the water should be good in the, like, in the entire country, and it's the worst.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See? Scottsdale motherfuckers have no reason to be uppity.
It's not the worst because, you know, Flint, but...
Yeah. Nobody cares about what's not happening to them, that we're not there, so we don't fully appreciate it. If we were there, we'd be, like, in the streets rioting. It's all like, we're people! We are people, goddammit!
Right. Out here, first world problems, we're like, the water tastes bad.
Right.
There's so no bitching
about.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, you came down here, and I actually came down here with you.
Yeah.
And... Was I the first person that you asked, or...?
Yeah. I came straight to you, and as a matter of fact, I was thinking about this. Like, neither of us would probably be in the position we're in if it wasn't for Steve Merrick. Because he posted being like, hey, I've got a, you know, a temp job coming up. Anyone want it? And so I was like, all right. And then came down and then decided to move, and I was like, I don't want to move by myself. Celia's funny. Let's... and she's homeless, so let's see if she wants to go to Phoenix.
For those of you who don't know, I've been homeless... Pretty, like, professionally.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's actually really easy to be homeless. I did it from age of 19 to, like, 21.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So comedy's not all glory. There's a lot of homelessness and, like, bumming drinks off of people.
Yeah.
I didn't feel comfortable, like, using feminine wiles or anything to get drinks after until I, like, came down here. It's like, fuck it, I need a drink.
Right.
It's all like, so, want to buy a girl a drink? It's like, yeah, sure. But normally I just ask other comedians and they buy it for me because they think I'm funny or they like me.
Yeah, no, it's funny. Like, there's actually a weird, like, kind of supports within the Phoenix community. I made a joke, like, Monday at Loft again. It was a stupid joke that I just thought of that day. It's like, I used to play Hungry Hungry Hippos. Now that I'm an adult, I play Hungry Hungry Millennial. And... Like, it didn't do too well, but then I got off stage, and then John Buddha, he's like, hey, come over here. Are you actually hungry? Like, do you need food? And I was like, no, I'm fine.
Yeah, he feeds me a lot, too. Yeah. I owe everybody here so much. I feel so bad about it.
Nice.
I'm a mooch. I'm a professional mooch.
Hey, you know what? Whatever happens. And then, I assume you're the kind of person that, like, if you make it big, you'll pay them back somehow.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, not necessarily with money, but, you know, stage time.
That's true. I could suck their dicks.
I mean, there's that, I guess.
From this day forward, I will suck off every single comedian in the Phoenix scene. That's a lie. I don't like some of the people who bought me stuff. Just kidding. No. One person, but I'll be polite. That being said, how do you feel about the scene down here in general? Like, would you say it's welcoming, or, like, we... Some people have been saying it's kind of clicky.
I'd say yes and no. It is clicky and stuff. Like, I think what it is that people are, they all have their own social anxieties and stuff.
Yeah.
And so when someone new, especially with how many people go up and, you know, try comedy for a month and then fall out, a lot of the comedians don't get into, like, oh, being friendly with every single person that comes to a mic and stuff like that. But when they see you show up regularly and you're decently funny, they'll start warming up to you and being more welcome. Like, I didn't feel very extremely welcome when I first came down. I felt very intimidated by a lot of the people, you know, that wouldn't say hi or anything. It's not like I was saying hi, but
yeah,
they definitely have warmed up to me over time and said hi more often and, you know, oh, that was a good set, blah, blah, blah. Things like that. So, I mean, I think it's a good scene. It feels,
I think Big Pine helped us out a lot.
Yeah, that definitely helped. Because, you know, we were going around meeting them outside. And we were also in our home turf and outside of their home turf.
Yeah, know? And people were asking us, like, where to go for shit and things like that. The one time I was useful. It's like, where do I go? It's like, you're gonna go down that street, and then you're gonna go left. And then I think I sent, like, 5 comedians in the wrong direction, because nice. I kept getting, like, 2 streets mixed up.
Nice.
So it's all like, fuck. They were probably late to their shows and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, comedy shows don't start on time.
Never. I think I've been to 1 comedy show that started on time.
Okay. Literally the worst show ever. They're actually really good at starting on time.
Huh.
This Week Sucks Tonight, they're at most 5 to 10 minutes late.
Right.
But normally it's, like, right at 11.
Hmm.
Or right at, I think, 8 o'clock is when literally the worst show ever happens.
Yeah, I still haven't checked that out. I've been meaning to.
I got to check it out because a fellow comedian bought me a ticket as a going-away present.
Nice. That's cool. So, literally the worst show ever starts on time, so it's literally not the worst. Or maybe it is. Does that make it the worst show ever? Is that because it's the only one that starts on time?
Yeah, they're not on, what is it, Comedy Time?
Comedy Time, yeah. You know, it's crazy. I've never, it's so rare to find a comedy show that's like, that actually starts on time. Someone's always late, or something's not ready, or people just want to have an extra cigarette right at 8 o'clock or whatever time the show's going to start.
Yeah, it's like 2 minutes, it's all like, the second, like, I see, like, they're having troubles with the mic, it's all like, is this going to take a little, it's like, go smoke your damn cigarette.
Pretty much. I remember I was, I went to go Catalina's, and actually, I was playing Fallout, and so I messaged Ramon, and I was like, hey, I can't make it till 8:30 or something. Can you sign me up on the list? And he was like, yeah, sure. And so I showed up at about 8:25, 8:30 or something, and they were on the second person.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So it's just so common that that happens around here. But yeah, back to the thing, like, I feel like people are definitely more welcoming now that I've been here some time, like, some people, like, there's a couple that have come straight to mind, but then there's also, like, David Kays was welcoming way before I even came down here, because I had known him from the show that we did in Sedona.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart.
Yeah, I think I actually did Porky's with him at one point.
I wasn't there.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were at every Porky show.
No, I went in on the third one, but Kays thinks I was there too, but I would have remembered David Kays' set.
Okay. Or was it? Yeah, it was Porky's.
I was that fucked up. Yeah, no, I don't drink. Okay. Like, I'll have 1 beer to calm my nerves for, like, a paid or book show.
Right.
But if it's an open mic, it's like, I'm getting turned.
It's the same thing. Like, I do the same thing with wearing, like, shorts or something. It's like, if I'm doing a paid or book show, I'm very good about not being fucked up and, you know, wearing pants, because that's a big thing, I guess. But if it's an open mic, fuck it all.
Yeah.
Although, I can say I was pretty drunk during this year's Comic-Con show for Ben Lewis. I was good at Steve Merrick's, but Ben Lewis, I was quite drunk.
Nice.
I get pretty drunk at Comic-Con.
As we all should.
Mm-hmm. They allow drinking everywhere. How was I not going to? It was the first year where they had actually, like, allowed you to just take your drinks anywhere. Of course I was going to get fucked up.
Well, did you get to see Tim Curry?
No. That was $200 to do that. Fuck that. I want to meet Tim Curry. Not that bad.
He's my favorite actor. I would have met him.
I mean, like,
I don't have $200. So.
I hope I would, like, have run into him somewhere or something. Like, I ran into Brian Posehn 1 year, And I ran into... God, why can't I remember his name? The guy who played Doc Brown in... Christopher Lloyd.
Okay.
In Back to the Future.
Nice. Yay. All right. So, who are your, like, the comedians that you admire and are seeing, or, like, your top five comedians? You can list more than five if you want, but, like, who are comedians you have respect for and actually, like, see moving up to the next level? Which would be, like, I don't know, L.A.? New York?
Oh, top five here?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I thought of, Kim Jones is one. It's hard to say if Ty Rivera counts, because he's, like, he's already a traveling comic, and he's been L.A. and back.
Yeah. He's definitely already established.
Yeah. So I can't really necessarily say him. Courtney. Courtney Wahlstrom. She's fucking hilarious.
She is.
Ryan Gerasich. I think he's really funny. And he's got some good stuff, good material, great observations.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in a while. Is he hitting the mics that you're hitting, or?
Yeah, I'm mostly running into him at Toso's, so I haven't seen him on, like, a Tuesday and stuff. And I actually haven't seen him in probably a month or so. But, I mean, every time I see him, it's fucking hilarious.
Okay. Nice.
Chris Gillespie, too. I think he's a great comic, and from what I've heard, I mean, he's definitely moved up in the past year or so. I don't know. I've only overheard things. Nobody's said anything to me directly about, like, his stuff or anything, but people have said he's definitely way better than he was a year ago.
Nice.
So, the fact that someone's made progress like that in a year. Lou Moon.
Yeah.
Lou's definitely one of my absolute favorites. I actually met Lou at Big Pine because he was... We were all sitting outside that end party.
Yeah.
And then he was sitting on the ground. I think I had met him, like, in passing before that. But then I have bad knees and stuff. And so he was sitting there because he didn't have his... didn't want to stand on his legs anymore. So I sat down next to him. We just talked for a little bit. And then I came down. We became friends. But he's always one of my favorites. Like, the his horses bit is just fucking amazing. And his autism jokes are just top A. That's so good.
That little, like, jovial smile he has, like, his whole countenance when he, like, tells the joke.
Yeah. And his fucking, what, getting drunk with autism or whatever, like, people who have strong emotions. I don't want to, yeah, anyway, I don't want to give out his bits in case you guys haven't seen him. But if you need to see him, or if you get a chance to see Lou Moon, see Lou Moon.
Yes, see Lou Moon. He's currently in Spokane, Washington.
Yep.
But we'll be back.
September, I think.
Nice. So in time for Big Pine.
Right. And then, I'd like to see David Case get up, because he's a good guy, and he's got some really funny stuff, too.
He is my favorite.
Yeah. It's so dark, and, like, I was actually recently talking to him about this. He even says, I don't like the words edgy comic or dark, or, like, shock comic or anything. Like, his stuff is edgy and dark and shocking, but that's because, like, yeah, that's his sense of humor, and it works so well with him, but it doesn't come off across as a gimmick.
Yeah.
It just, like, generally comes across as, oh, this is what he finds funny.
I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, I always feel, like, real. Like,
yeah,
that's how I'd describe him.
Yeah, it definitely. Sorry, I stuttered on that. Definitely.
Yeah, and I'm not editing that shit out.
No, it's totally fine. I just sounded like Rain Man for a minute. Definitely.
It's okay.
And I also really like Steve Merrick's stuff, actually. That's one of the reasons I made him the headliner of the Sedona show. He's another great, funny comic. Oh, and there's so many. Like, there's so many in the Phoenix scene. Roman Grisby, Negative Steve. Like, there's so many great people in the scene. Christopher Royer, Leslie Barton. People all, I think, all would have a decent shot of making it to the next level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Only one of the most, like, positive, like, listing person after person. Most people, it's all like, all right, I've got three, right? It's like, yeah, fuck. Another one that people mention a lot is Tristan Bowling.
Oh, yeah. Definitely Tristan Bowling. And, like, I didn't necessarily think of him, because I've only seen him a couple times, but every time I'm on the fucking floor laughing. He's fucking great.
Yeah.
There's so many, it's almost hard to it would be hard to pick just five.
Fair enough. You did it easily. Everybody else was all like, so I need two more then?
Right.
It's like, yeah.
I guess everyone else has a hard time filling the numbers. I'm like, how do I pick only five of these people? Because they're all so great.
Nah, I agree with that. Because, like, I'll think, because there's, like, what, 400 people down in this scene alone?
I think so. I want to say so, yeah.
Like, maybe for the Arizona comedians, like, 50 or 100 of them are, like, people who've moved away or in Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a few people from Flagstaff.
Yeah. I mean, it's mostly definitely here in Phoenix, and so that, yeah, I'd say about that, yeah.
Okay. So, you have a charity foundation.
Yes. Well, kind of. It's weird. It's in a limbo right now. So, like, the, it's for Chiari Malformation.
So it's been aborted?
No, I'm trying to keep it going. My friend that is the actual president of the foundation is, it's hard to negotiate, like, not necessarily negotiate, coordinate. Like, we need to fill out the paperwork again because the charity is currently being run through a church in Michigan where his family is. But when we filled out our paperwork the first time, we thought we had to fill out the digital form and the paper form.
Yeah.
So when we sent it in, it got denied because they're like, you're trying to apply twice. Why are you trying to do this? So it got denied. And then when it came to trying to apply again, that is an additional $80 that we didn't want to, that we haven't tried to throw in yet, and trying to get all four of the board members to sign up. Like, it still exists through the church and stuff, but we haven't gotten the actual paperwork in to make it its own entity yet. And he's been going to college, so he's been having a hard time doing that. And I can only do so much from down here.
Yeah.
And then one of the other, so like the four council members or board members is like me, his dad, him, and then another girl, a friend of ours, Claire, is the secretary, and she's on a road trip across the country. So it's hard to get all four of us to email each other and like coordinate how to get everything done.
Okay.
But I'm planning and trying to get it all back up and running. So.
Nice. Can you explain what the foundation is?
Oh, yeah. We raise money to raise awareness and help pay for treatment for people with Chiari malformation, which is a condition where your skull puts so much pressure in your brain leaks back onto your spine, and depending on what part of your brain's leaking out, or what part of your spine is hitting, affects the range of symptoms. It could be you get migraines once a month to full body paralysis and everything in between. So it's crazy, like, and I think it's like one in every 1,000 people have it. It's super common, but nobody knows about it because it gets commonly misdiagnosed. Because if the symptoms are, I get migraines once a month, nobody's going to get a CAT scan for that.
Okay.
So, like, a lot of people, but it's a pretty common thing, and a lot of people don't need, like, the surgery for it or anything, but nobody really knows about it.
Sounds like a Mortal Kombat thing, or, like, something you'd see if you were, like, on acid, just somebody's brain compressing down and leaking down your spine. Just, like, some Rick and Morty shit.
Right, there's actually a movie that Peter Jackson did where, like, a zombie's brain, like, falls. Yeah, Peter, pre-Lord of the Rings, like, a brain falls out, and the guy's gotta, like, the zombie's gotta, like, stumble around and try to grab the brain and stuff. It's really weird. B-quality movie, for sure.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Which, in my book, would make it an A-plus quality movie.
Oh, yeah, it's one of those movies. Well, it's one of those movies for me that's so bad it's good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I still haven't seen Bright.
Son of a bitch.
It's okay. You've seen it enough for everyone.
I'm watching it once for everybody in America.
250 million times?
Yeah. Actually, I haven't watched it in, like, I think 4 or 6 months.
That's good.
Yeah. Improvement.
Right.
I do listen to the soundtrack, though.
I mean, I don't even know what the soundtrack is, but it might be good.
I like it, but then again, I'm not hard to please.
Yeah. Your movie... I mean, you do like Lord of the Rings, so that's a plus.
Yeah. I'll play it by ear.
Mm-hmm.
I have been watching Big Mouth, though. Josh Jones got me into that.
Dude, holy shit, Big Mouth's amazing. I saw that. I was, when I was on my road trip to go visit my friend with Chiari, she was having the surgery out in New York, and I was in a hotel in New York City, and, Big Mouth had just came out, and so I was like, oh, I wonder what this is. Oh, Nick Kroll and John Mulaney? This has got to be good. It's fucking amazing. I love that show.
It's so good.
Right? The puberty monster? Fucking hilarious.
It's the hormone monster.
Oh, fair enough. The hormone monster.
Who gets called the puberty fairy. That's it's like, what the fuck did you just call me?
That's so good. John Mulaney and Nick Kroll are fucking brilliant. Their show, Oh Hello, was amazing. Have you watched it yet?
I have not.
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
They play two old men in New York, and it's fantastic.
Nice.
It's a play.
So they play old men in real life, and then they play children in cartoons.
You know what? I hadn't noticed that. Yeah, they cover the whole age spectrum, because I mean, when they do their stand-up, they're just, you know,
Nice. Normal
adults.
Okay. So, like, they're in the middle. Mm-hmm. They got range.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Today I learned.
Yay. Speaking of weird, dumb jokes I thought of. I have a boba fetish. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that. And, like, I was thinking boba tea. So if we just put, like, Boba Fett with, like, a whole bunch of chains around his neck, and give him a mohawk, and that just made me happy.
Make him, like, a hipster?
Yeah, no, make him look like Mr. T. So it'd be Boba Tea.
Gotcha. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I might have to try to commission that artwork.
Okay. We'll just give Josh a fuck ton of ass and some crayons.
Right.
Which reminds me, part of every podcast, I must say this. Fuck Josh Jones. All right.
All right. I don't want to fuck Josh Jones.
I plead the fifth. So.
I mean, I get it. He's a pretty man. He's not handsome. He's pretty.
Boy child.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like a delicate flower. He looks great in drag.
You know, I've heard that.
Like, really good. It's bizarre. I wanted him to be one of my hoes for the bro show, but that bitch flaked out.
Yep.
Okay, he didn't flake out. He went to work like a fucking adult.
Yeah, being all responsible and shit.
Yeah. Damn it, both of my hoes called out that day.
Damn it. You gotta keep that pimp hand strong.
I know. I should have changed my name to No Hose Johnson.
I mean, it makes sense. Your pimp hand is broken, so.
Yeah, I have another pimp hand.
Fair enough.
What were my other questions? I have a giant list. I thought I had them all memorized.
Nice. Good job.
I know. It's like, this is professional as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
At its finest. Okay, so you have put on shows before, and, like, I think you're a really good host. What exactly goes into producing and promoting a show?
Oof. You have to first figure out the lineup. Like, you have to book people for the show. You have to, like, figure out venue. I guess that's step one, is venue. Finding out the venue. And then you have to find out who is available that night. And then you have to figure out who is best in the lineup. Like, I also figured out when I put together the show in Sedona that not only do you have to, like, figure out who you want, you know, to open, feature, close, headline, all that, but you also need to figure out who works best with who, like, after who. Like, if you got someone that, you know, like David Cates, he's gonna alienate at least a quarter of the audience after that. I mean, people get offended, people get shit up their asses, and I think it's hilarious. Like,
I know, Erica was so pissed off, and I was crying.
Oh, yeah, no, it was so great, because, like, and afterwards, he apologized, like, hey, I'm sorry I walked those people. I'm like, I know, you fucking killed it, in my opinion. Like, if they were gonna walk out, I mean, they came to a comedy show. So, and then, but, like, I wanted to...
I peed a little bit during his set.
Mm-hmm. No, I think, I probably did, too.
Yeah.
And then...
Aw, he made us both wet.
All right. And then, so you gotta figure out someone that can, like, maybe lighten the mood a little bit after someone like Kaze. And I think Kaze could headline perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But when you're putting together, like, a lineup and stuff, you gotta figure out where to put the people, like, in what order. Because if you get someone that's gonna walk a quarter of the people, or not necessarily guaranteed walk them, but, like, that might, then you don't want another person that might walk them at right afterwards. At least in my opinion. And then, you know, find someone to do the artwork, put it all up in line, promote it, pay Facebook so that they'll show your stuff to people. Things like that.
Okay. So, like, you would recommend using, like, the Facebook, like, boost pages thing?
Oh, yeah. I'd say throw, if you got a week, throw $10 at it.
Okay.
And you'll, maybe, like, a couple thousand people will see it.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, for $5, all of Cornville.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm. So, yeah, no, it's, I definitely recommend the boost page. At least, it seemed to work.
Yeah,
decide
cool.
if you're going to charge, how much you're going to charge, things like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so hosting, like, did you want to host, or, like, did you just do it because, like, it presents more opportunities?
I wanted to give it a shot, and I felt like doing it in a place that I was comfortable, like Old Sedona, was a great place to host for the first time.
Okay. Like, yeah. That was your first time hosting?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I can't host for shit, Giuseppe.
I mean, I have a hard time. I guest hosted, Grand Ave a couple weeks in a row. I think it was like 2 weeks in a row, and I feel like I did terrible. The first week I did it as myself, and then the next week I did it as Syndrome because I wanted to practice my jokes for Phoenix Comic Con, where I did a set as Syndrome from The Incredibles.
Nice.
Not necessarily the smartest idea to show up to an open mic in spandex and whitey tighties and an orange wig.
I don't know. It was better than showing up to a regular show dressed up as Mohos Johnson and then telling rape jokes.
Fair enough.
And that is the story of how I killed my first room.
Nice.
Well, not killed my first room, but killed my first room as a host. It's all like it was my first time. I fucked that shit up.
Nice.
It was so bad. Alright, what advice would you give to a aspiring comedian?
Oh, don't.
Alright. That's what pretty much everybody else has said. It's like, don't, or I'm not qualified to give advice.
Yeah, no, like, there's no advice. I mean, I guess, the only advice that I would just pass on is advice I heard, which was what Bill Burr told Pete Holmes when Pete Holmes was first getting started. Keep your head down, try to be funny, and you'll be fine.
Okay.
But there are so many chances to start drama, so just keep your head down.
Alright. Like in the booker's lap, or just down in general?
Just down in general. Just like, okay. You know, don't draw any negative attention to yourself. Don't talk shit. Don't cause problems. Try not to burn any bridges if you can avoid it.
Okay. But if you do burn the bridge, stand on it.
I mean, yeah, if you're gonna burn a bridge, then, you know, make sure it's for a legit reason.
It's cold. Just kidding. I don't even think you can burn shit down here. Everything's already on fire.
That's true. Phoenix did catch on fire. Apparently, I don't know. I never fact-checked this, but apparently Phoenix, like, all of Phoenix burned down at one point. And they were like, well, fuck. We named it Phoenix. Like, we have to rebuild.
Yeah. I think what we lose in the fire, we will find in the ashes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very upset with how many people don't watch Western movies.
I love Westerns, but Westerns, actually, I was just talking to Kays and Trajan about this, like, how Westerns are completely different from what actual history was.
Yeah.
Most cowboys were just, like, freed slaves and stuff.
Yeah, like, 1 in 4 cowboys was, like, African-American, and, like, 1 in 4 was, like, Mexican.
Oh, I'd say, yeah, most of them were
minorities. Like, most of them were minorities,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was very few actual white cowboys.
Yeah.
White America. Whitewashing history.
Yay.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, God. Did you see the remake of The Magnificent Seven?
No. Oh, wait. Magnificent. No, I saw Hateful Eight. So many fucking numbers.
I know. Ridiculous Six. Magnificent Seven.
Mm-hmm.
Hateful Eight.
Fantastic Four. Series makes no sense.
Ocean's 11, 10, and 9.
They've got Ocean's 8 now. All women.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't somebody make a joke about that? How they, like, it's just gonna be, like, one woman doing all the planning and the other 8 are just gonna be talking shit or something like that?
I have no idea. I didn't hear it.
I don't know. I'm trying to remember, but I think there's a bit about that.
I mean, there probably is. There's a bit about everything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's for inspiring comedians. Chances are, somebody's done your joke.
Yeah, there's no such thing as an original thought.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta rip that Band-Aid off now.
Yeah, no, there's, somebody's done your joke or some version of your joke. Just don't do, try not to do the very common hacky things where it's like a very, very common topic. Make something your own. And if somebody says you stole that joke, just, you know, do your best to acknowledge it head on. Don't be too proud to be like, I didn't, you know, be too proud to be like, well, I'm sorry, I didn't actually steal it, but, you know, I'm willing to figure it out and how to make it your own and be completely separate. But if you do some, try not to do something word for word, but law of probability says that's gonna happen at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how you feel about this, but, like, I will make up some, like, goofy, dumbass jokes and they work out. But, like, some people, like, have a set that works for them and then they're not that person anymore. Mm-hmm. So they kind of, like, lose, like, the emotion and drive behind the joke, or it's no longer relatable.
Yeah.
So, like, making shit up mm-hmm. and, like, saying you did it, but you really didn't.
Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah, I mean, you can't be 100% honest on stage all the time.
Yeah, like, there's embellishment and over-exaggerating, but, like, mm-hmm. and there are people who, like, have that certain persona, and that works for them.
Right. No, I mean, a good way to put it is, like, yeah, there's, I make up some, quite a bit of things on stage. Not a lot, but quite a bit. I've been doing a joke where it's like, you know, oh, it feels like it's been forever since I've been late. Like, what day is it? And someone's like, oh, it's Tuesday. And I'm like, oh, it's been 3 years. But it's been, I mean, it's only been a couple months.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't think it's,
Yeah, because I joke about, like, murdering somebody.
Yeah. I don't think that's there's an issue with lying or embellishing on stage or...
Yeah, not like... No, I get that, but, like, some people say... You know, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
I'm retarded.
I think there's a lot of people who have completely different personalities on stage than they do off stage, too.
Yeah.
I'd say a good portion of comedians have that. Like, I guess, okay, so at least it seems to me, like, Ronnie D is one that comes to my mind, because I was actually just ran into her last week, and she's got this very, like, big and exaggerative personality on stage, and it works fucking fantastically. She does a great job.
She and does.
When I see her off stage, she's very quiet and reserved.
At least yeah, she seems right. like that. I can see that.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, she might be a big and exaggerated person, like, once you get to know her, maybe that's a smaller part of her or something, but she definitely gives off a completely different persona, like, off stage versus on stage, from what I've seen, anyway. I can't say for sure. I've only interacted with her 5 times, I think.
Yeah, I do like her a lot, and I do think she's really talented.
Yeah, she was actually, when I thought of her, I was like, oh, there's another person on the list that I'd say could just go to the next level.
Yeah. No, she'd be on my list for that.
Mm-hmm. She's fantastic. Cute, too.
Yeah. But why does that matter, Giuseppe?
It doesn't.
Just kidding.
Just adding.
You didn't need to. You don't add that the other comedians are cute. You didn't say David Kays was cute. You didn't say Gillespie was cute. You didn't say...
I said Josh Jones was pretty.
Yeah, but we were talking about fucking him. It came up.
Fair enough. Okay,
You're going to look like such an asshole when I post.
I'm such a terrible, terrible person. Can we edit that? No.
I'm just kidding. No, it's fine. No, she is actually very stunning. I always get excited when there's, like, that complete package girl, like, the one who's, like, smart, funny, and pretty, because it's like, ha! Women can be all that shit at once.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd say a lot of the best comedians in Phoenix are women.
Yeah. I actually agree with that.
Like, when you first asked me that question, I was like, mostly, like, the women hit my head, like, came up first in my mind, you know, Dana Whitson, Kim Jones, and I didn't mention Dana earlier, actually, but she...
God, she's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, and, like, that's Courtney, Leslie, like, those are the ones that came to my mind first, and I'm like, I can't just name off a list of all women, but I guess I could, I don't know.
I'm upset. I haven't interviewed one fucking woman for this goddamn podcast yet.
That's weird.
I've asked them, I don't know if they're just busy grinding on the comedy scene, like, not grinding, like, sexually, but, like, just, yeah. like, hustling.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I had a few women, it's like, yeah, well, I'll make time for you, and then they, like, don't message me back, and then I'll, like, try and follow up with them, and they still don't answer back, and I'm like,
right.
okay, yeah. I guess.
Maybe they're just busy, or, I don't know.
So, I should probably definitely post this podcast first. So when people start complaining that there's not a single fucking woman.
Right, yeah.
It's all like, she's sexist towards other women.
You tried.
I did try.
Well, you got a couple days.
Yeah. One or two.
Yeah. So.
Unless I do stay for a few more days, I'll play it by ear.
Right. Figure it out.
Yeah. All right. Are there any shows you're doing, or is there anything, like, you'd recommend that people check out here? It doesn't have to be comedy. Like, maybe there's some great place to eat down here in the valley, or something in Arizona that you think really cool that people should check out. Could be a show.
I'm trying to do a monthly show that is similar to Doug Loves Movies. It's going to be my own thing. I'm calling it Cinematic Challenges. We're doing it at Comms this coming Tuesday. I don't know when this is going to come out, but, then hopefully a monthly after that. Who knows? We'll see how the first one goes. And then obviously check out the Bro Show. That's like the best, in my opinion, the best show in Phoenix. And let's see here. Food-wise, I have no idea. I'm so terrible going out to eat. I eat a Whataburger half the time because they have honey butter sauce and it's amazing. I recommend that. I'll recommend the honey butter sauce at Whataburger.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. What else is there? I don't know. I haven't gone to too many book shows. Check out Catalina's if you ever get a chance. If you're ever in Phoenix and want to check out a show on Sunday, like, Catalina's, in my opinion, that's one of the, it's one of the better booked mics, because it is in such a, you know, Catalina's is almost the Madison Square Garden of Phoenix comedy, because it's so hard to fucking kill the whole bar, to, like, just kill it and get everyone's attention and everyone's laughing, but if, you know, but when it happens, it's so magical.
It is magical.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like Tempe Tavern's rougher for me. Like, I don't know what it is, but for some reason I seem to do okay at Catalina's.
Right. I haven't done Tempe Tavern in, like, a year. I should probably get over there.
Yeah, I've been doing it a lot. I actually did hit up Catalina's not last week, but the week before, because I wanted to try and see some of the people who hang out over there before I took off.
Other than that, I mean, just check out whatever, any comedy. All the comedy shows are great. All the comedians down here, most of the comedians are pretty good. The rest are learning. I won't say anyone's bad.
That's such a nice way to say it.
I mean, I try to be nice. I don't want to say anything bad about anyone. There's a couple people I don't like on a personal level, but I don't disrespect them.
See, I have situations like that, too. It's all like, this person's kind of a cunt, but I'll be damned if they're not funny.
Yeah. And I don't want to call, I don't want to make any waves or anything like that. I try to be as nice to people. Even if I don't like someone personally, I just try to stay away from them. I try not to cause any problems.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Keep my head down. Keep my head down. Try to be funny.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
That is probably the best advice you'll hear. And we'll start with this, and then we'll progressively get into weirder and weirder podcasts where we talk shits.
Yep. For anyone in New York, if you're in New York, I recommend trying the Cave and Creek. That was a fun bar. Or that was a fun place that I totally bombed at. And Boston. There was a good one in Boston that I did. I can't remember for the life of me what it was now. But there's some cool, like, comedy places across the country that you should all check out.
All right, cool. Do you want anybody, like, what truths should be known now? Like, this truths? Is your platform.
Oh, shit.
Say what you want.
I have no idea. I'm so bad at coming up with that kind of stuff off the top of my head. So, yeah. Don't trash Sedona. If you go to Sedona, stop littering, I guess. Any truths about me, though? No, I don't think that there's going to be any weird scandals. I'm such a boring person.
Fair enough. Okay, I have one, though. Since you brought the don't trash Sedona. You motherfuckers from Phoenix in the Valley, whenever you go up to Flagstaff for your fucking sledding, pick up the broken shards, you motherfuckers.
Yeah, that works.
I am this close to slitting somebody, like, I'm just gonna be waiting there with, like, the broken sleds and just start pulling, like, the children in their necks.
Right. Yeah, no, I know, I get the same way about the tourists, man. It's so bad up there. That's one of the reasons I'm happy to be down here, is I get to not have to see that. Oh, and if you're a single and attractive woman, I mean, you can find me on Twitter at Ender Strange. Oh, wait, no, I changed it. My Twitter handle is... Shit. Come on, phone. I think it's at StrangeDude67.
Do you still have a Tinder?
Yeah. At StrangeDude67. Yeah, no, I have, I've been doing a new joke about Tinder, about how it occasionally recommends men. Yeah, no, it's bad. Like, it actually, nice. That actually happened. Like, a dude came up, and I was like, what the fuck, Tinder? And they're like, obviously, you're not getting fucking laid, so, have you thought about dick?
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't accidentally, like, hit a bisexual setting?
Nope. I double-checked after that. I was like, why is there a dude showing up? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Well, this has been a pretty cool interview. Thanks for letting me talk to you.
Thanks for having me, and be safe on your journey.
Of course. And if you can, you guys, check out the podcast and check out the blog webpage, Road Comics Guide. .blogspot.com. All right.
Yeah, have a good one.
Laters.